This month marked the end of the UN initiative 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence. This is deeply needed as last year the Department of Human Services social workers received over 65,000 referrals of family and domestic violence. Breakfast producer Caitlin Adams spoke with social worker Yasmin Timuth from the Department of Human Services. Caitlin started off by asking what was done during the 16 Days of Activism to reduce gender-based violence.
There was a lot of promotion by White Ribbon Australia. There was a lot of various events going on in different parts of Australia. I can't say specifically, but I know that there was quite a few different events on. I know based in Adelaide, usually there is a march that goes up to Parliament House.
Are there times of year that are more difficult for people who suffer from gender-based violence?
From my experience from working within Department of Human Services as a social worker, there is no increase or decrease. There's no times where it's more frequent. I think perhaps the most riskiest in that time would be when a woman separates. So when a woman has presented to us and she has just separated from her partner, that is when we try and get her linked into as many services as possible, just to keep her safe, because we know that that is the most riskiest time for not only really bad physical violence, but fatal violence as well.
Mm. And in terms of like time of year, particularly around Christmas, is that a time where there's more?
I find that Christmas is usually, you know, people are trying to be happy families, but it's just that after that Christmas period where everything, that big happiness and excitement around the holidays have dropped off, you know, people might be drinking, might be a little bit intoxicated, you know, family issues kind of come out, and, you know, that can cause more issues. So, you know, after the Christmas and New Year period, we can see more people leaving home because there's been a big blow up, essentially.
And part of your role as a social worker is to identify people who are at risk and connect them with vital services. How do you do that?
So our frontline staff are trained to pick up little cues from our customers that come in. It might be, you know, separating. It might be claiming new payments, which they haven't done before. And they're trained to ask risk identification questions. So once they've asked those risk identification questions and they've opened up, then they're referred to a social worker.
What kind of support is available for people who might be suffering but are worried about the situation that they're in?
So there is several different avenues for people who are afraid to make that call, and it is a really hard step to take. There is the National Family and Domestic Violence Counselling Service, 1-800-RESPECT, and there's also the social workers who work in the Department of Human Services. If someone does decide to make that step in calling and they need to end the call because it is putting them in danger, usually the counsellor or the social worker will try and arrange a time that will be safe for them to contact again, or the person making the call can call again at any time.
And so as a support network of people, friends and family, that kind of thing, how can we notice warning signs in someone else who might be going through that kind of abuse?
I think withdrawing, if the person is withdrawing a lot, that can be a pretty big warning sign. Being very careful around their partner, tiptoeing around, they may say little things like, you know, so-and-so won't let me do this, or so-and-so might get angry if I do this, withdrawing from those social situations. Even if, you know, getting those, if you're out with someone who you suspect might be experiencing family and domestic violence, you know, getting constant phone calls from their partner, constant texts to check up where they are, that may appear to be something sweet and loving, but it's actually something to control and coerce them to stay in that relationship.
So what can we do to help those people then?
Offering your support. You know, tell the person that you're there to listen, that you believe them and that it's not their fault, you know, being there for them. Sometimes it takes a woman, on average, up to 8 times to leave, and sometimes that can be very frustrating for families and friends who have, you know, seen this person go through the cycle of violence constantly. But to remain there as a support and to remain supportive, even if they do return to the relationship, then they know that you're always there and it will be easier for them to leave permanently.
You mentioned up to 8 times to fully leave this scenario. What are some of the reasons that people go back? What stops them from leaving?
So with the cycle of violence, it's often after an explosion phase where, you know, the violent partner may verbally abuse, physically abuse, intimidate the victim. There will often be a phase of pursuit. There will be a phase of the honeymoon phase, we call it. And that is the phase where everything is very much like when they first met this person. It's all quite lovely and it's great, and they really do believe that this person's changed for the good now. So that is the hook that constantly gets them to come back.
What kind of resources are then available to help? What do social workers and all the systems offer?
So social workers can offer counselling and support. Within the department, we offer short-term counselling support, and then depending on your area, we will link them up with the local counselling and support for that ongoing support of them. There is also, if a person has left their home because of the domestic violence, we can offer payments to help support them.
With the current social climate around gender-based violence, there's been a massive spotlight with the Me Too hashtag, that kind of thing. Is it helpful to have that kind of spotlight shone on it? Or does that put potentially more people at danger because they're worried about what might happen?
From my perspective, the people who are sharing these stories are doing it with their consent. And I think it shows the gravity of that violence there, that gender-based violence. This is, I believe, a very minimal amount of people sharing their stories, and there's a lot of people who aren't comfortable with sharing their hashtag MeToo stories that haven't put that out there. And I think that really just shows the gravity of the situation.
Do you think we're moving towards more people speaking out and more people getting help?
I really do believe so. I think with, what's currently happening, it seems to be more people calling it out, and there's more penalties for the people who are being violent or mm-hmm. aggressive or intimidating. There's much more penalties, and we're seeing that more often.
That was Yasmin Timmis speaking to Caitlin Adams about gender-based violence. If you or anyone you know is in immediate danger, call 000. To access 24/7 counselling and support, call 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732. For more information, go to humanservices.gov.au/enough.